Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Good evening, America, and welcome to your special President's Day edition of Just the News, No Noise. I'm your host, John Solomon, reporting to you, as always, from Washington, D.C. In just a few minutes, my co-host, Amanda Head, and I are going to be sitting down with Matt Schlapp, the head of CPAC, to talk about the history of this great event, which starts this week. It's the Super Bowl of conservative politics, and it's going to be a big event this year. President Trump, one of many big headliners at the event. We're going to be very excited about that. And we're building toward another very consequential presidential election, as you know, and so that will be the topic for so much of what goes on at the event. But before we get into that special conversation, I want to turn things over to my amazing co-host, Amanda Head, who's stationed out in Los Angeles for one more day before heading to the East Coast. She's going to join us at CPAC. We're going to be live for the second half of the week here in Washington. Amanda, happy President's Day. Special day, I know, especially for someone like you who's such a great student of history.
I do love history, and good evening to you, John. Good evening to all of you. Happy President's Day. I am absolutely looking forward to covering CPAC. This network I've been with for, 6 years. I've been covering it with them ever since 2017. I always love going there. It is one of my yearly highlights because I feel like CPAC has, you know, it grows in size every year. They always adapt to changing culture and politics. And as you remember, we were down in Orlando a few years ago for the conference, as many convention centers and people feared COVID more than they believed in their faith to guide them. But while everyone makes their own decisions, I am so very grateful for the leadership of CPAC for their evolving in times like that. And I'm excited to dive into all things ACU with Matt in just a few moments. But as you mentioned, John, you know, kids these days have more technology available to them than I think we ever did, which can be a great thing, of course, because, you know, for educational purposes at least. But unfortunately, most kids today are spending such an ungodly amount of time on apps like TikTok rather than with their head in a history book, and it absolutely breaks my heart. But while President's Day, not like Christmas or Easter, but it does have its own meaning, so let's get into that. Back in 1800, following the death of first President George Washington, his birthday, which is February 22nd, became a perennial day of remembrance. And despite the unofficial observance for most of the 1800s, it wasn't until the late 1870s when it became a federal holiday, with great thanks to the partnership of Arkansas Senator Stephen Wallace Dorsey and then President Rutherford B. Hayes. Now, ironically enough, the holiday only applied to those in the District of Columbia, as if they needed one more extra day off. But in 1885, it expanded to the whole country. But in the late 1960s, the shift from Washington's birthday celebration to President's Day began when there was a proposed change by an Illinois senator looking to make the day into Uniform Monday in honor of labor unions and private sector workers. So while this full legislative change wasn't adopted by Congress, the main piece of the act passed in 1968, taking effect in 1971. And that's how we shifted from celebrating Washington's birthday on that fixed date of February 22nd to celebrating every third Monday of February. Fascinating history, John. I love celebrating these holidays. And, you know, for most people to get the time off.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a great day to remember all of the extraordinary leaders that this country has produced over the years. The bravery, the common sense, and the commitment to freedom, which today I think is in grave danger. Well, folks, I'm so excited to have the majority of the show focus on the American Conservative Union and CPAC. Amanda and I have been going there for years. I think I've covered 28 or 29. This might be my 29th now as a reporter. So exciting for me. Why? Because it's the the Super Bowl of politics, right? The left doesn't have an event like this. And if you want to understand where the conservative movement is, you just put your finger on the pulse at CPAC, and you pretty much can understand what will be the ideas and the forces shaping each election each year. For five decades, CPAC has grown in size by thousands. It's become a place where young conservatives can gain confidence in their conservatism and find camaraderie, something that's hard to do sometimes in liberal colleges today. This year is going to be especially big. Of course, former President Donald Trump will be on the main stage, a headliner again. Several world leaders are going to be on the stage. That's a big deal. And a few less members of Congress, which I can't wait to ask our first guest about today. Matt Schlapp is the chairman of the American Conservative Union and, of course, the grand poobah of CPAC. And he joins us right now. Matt, great to have you on the show.
Great to be with you guys again.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you on. I never thought we'd have an opening of a show with Rutherford B. Hayes and the Grand Poobah, but we did it. We made it. We got it in there. It is such a great honor to have you on. People are super excited about this year's CPAC, and I think there's so much strife in the world, and yet I think a lot of people are realizing the strife is making people look back and say, I think I might be conservative. I didn't think for a while, but I think I'm conservative. There's an amazing transformation in country going on today. Tell us what CPAC's going to be about this year.
Yeah, so our theme is where globalism goes to die. And the great irony is that we'll have more people traveling to Washington, D.C. from around the globe than we've ever had. So it's not that conservatives in America don't care about these issues around the world. It's just that we care about our nation first. And each one of these world leaders who are coming, they care about their nation first. And they have a great allegiance with conservatives in America, because they're trying to stand up for those values in their countries too. And who's their main opponent as they stand up for these values of like faith and family and our basic fundamental rights? Their opponents are the globalists. It's the World Economic Forum. It's the regime in Beijing. It's the WHO. It's the UN. It's these big, terrible, woke companies, many based in America, who are trying to push extreme leftist orthodoxy into their country. So there's a real commonality between the conservative activist in America and the person who's just trying to do right and take care of their family in many of these other countries.
Yeah, that's really true.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned that dichotomy between the slogan for this year's CPAC, where globalism goes to die, and yet the global aspect of CPAC, because you do have a number of these world leaders descending upon Washington for a CPAC. But you look at the culture of elections these past few years, and the not America first, but Netherlands first, and El Salvador first, and Argentina first presidents and world leaders who have been elected. Can you tell us some of those world leaders who are going to be coming and speaking?
Yeah, so this fiery Argentinian president Javier Milei is coming, who famously wielded a chainsaw and talked about how he's going to slash the bureaucracy. And by the way, he is doing that. He also famously said there's no plan B, meaning like Argentina only has one path forward to get to economic stability, and it's by his reform agenda. Similar to what many of us feel about Donald Trump here in America, that if Donald Trump doesn't win, America is really, really endangered. And then we have this wonderful young president from El Salvador, President Bukele, who just won in a landslide. I don't even know how you call it, 85%. It's more than a landslide. And basically his issue has been MS-13 and these gang members and these cartels, I'm going to put them in prison. We're going to make it so the streets of El Salvador are safe. And even the El Salvadoran community here in America is just loving the fact that he's bravely standing up against this criminal element. We have Mr. Abascal of Spain, who's the leading conservative politician in Spain, and many believe will be a future prime minister of Spain. It's interesting, these Spanish-speaking countries from Europe and from South America and from Central America, they see CPAC as an opportunity to have a conversation with Latinos, Hispanics here in America about like what are our shared values and what can we do to help each other. The Hispanic vote is up for grabs because they're not woke. They actually love the country that they chose to live in. They love to take their family to church. They love so much about America's welcoming attitude, but the left is trying hard to capture this vote by convincing them that their boys should be girls, that their girls should be boys, that America's racist, and indoctrinating people in public schools. So this is kind of the fight for our lives here in America, and we're gonna help have a really important conversation with these American Hispanics.
Yeah, such an important and such an important part of our business. Main Street America, the fastest growing segment of Main Street America, are Latino businesses. It's so amazing to see. Yeah. Matt, there is a lot of world leaders on stage. There's some real famous names on stage, but there's a remarkable dearth of members of Congress this year. And you and I were talking last week. You gave me a reason. This is intentional. You made the decision here to not have as many members of Congress. Tell us why.
Well, you know, usually I tend to be a congenial, happy warrior, and people say, well, Senator so-and-so wants to come. And I say, well, yeah, well, he's a good guy. And then, but, you know, over time, we're getting stricter because the Republican Party has to chuck off to the side of the road this idea that they're just an institutional presence in Washington. They need to earn the support of conservatives. And one of the ways they earn it is to fight just as hard as Nancy Pelosi does for her agenda. The problem with too many Republicans, especially in the Senate, is they think sending funding to the state of Israel and to the folks who are trying to destroy the state of Israel, Hamas and others, at the same time in the same bill, they think that's okay. Well, most of us think that's insane, that you have to pick a side in these conflicts. And the Republican Party needs to pick a side. What side are they on? Are they going to fight for this country? Or are they just going to try to get a little bit as this country goes into decline? And so the types of Republicans we'll have on the stage are the types of Republicans that stand up, like Tommy Tuberville from Alabama, who has been standing up for the rights of the unborn and not wanting the Pentagon to become Planned Parenthood. And Jim Jordan, who's this fiery head of the House Judiciary Committee, never stops fighting. Elise Stefanik, who is mentioned as a potential VP pick. These are the types of members we have speaking, and I'd like to invite more, but they need to earn it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's fair enough. This is something that I have considered and thought about and ruminated over for the past six or seven years since I've been coming to CPAC. I really thought that at some point the left would have an answer to CPAC. And, you know, they have different conferences in Washington, in Baltimore, in Aspen, you know, different places, but none of them rival CPAC. Why is it that they just can't seem to get a convention together that's anything close to CPAC?
Well, you know, it's funny. Conservatives are rugged individualists, Amanda, and we really don't like centralized planning. We don't like being in one place at one time. So wrangling this all together at this annual event is really, really difficult to do. And part of the reason why we're successful is we have differences of opinion. We allow people to come who we don't necessarily agree with. I don't script anything that's on the stage. It's a live show. And I think the Democrats and the left live every day in their own version of you know, taking orders on what to say and what to do. It's amazing how socialists really do work together better than conservatives do. And I think the great thing of CPAC, it is this time when the world now, not just the nation, but the world gets to see what do we stand for and what do we believe. So it's an incredibly important moment. Why the left can't rival CPAC with their own event? I'll tell you why. The left doesn't ever create anything, Amanda. All the left does is destroy stuff. So what you'll notice starting next week is an attempt to destroy Mercy and me personally, an attempt to destroy CPAC as an organization, an attempt to mischaracterize who's speaking. Because really the left, they're like, you know, locusts. They come in to destroy. They're very, very, they have a huge challenge of building anything. They're great at coming into the Boy Scouts or a church or something and taking it over and destroying it. But they're not so good at being the architect in the beginning.
Yeah, that's true. They are the most negative party in history right now, the last few years, particularly negative politics, unlike anything we've seen. Matt, we got about a minute left before the commercial break. You've graciously agreed to stick around a little bit longer, but 74, CPAC was created in the ashes of Watergate. In 2021, it was the place where Donald Trump began his comeback. Are you amazed how much he's come back in 3 years?
Yeah, I actually am. It's one of those amazing, you talk about history, one of the most amazing historical things we've ever seen.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And we're going to get to see the 45th president on the stage as the closer on Saturday. It's going to be very exciting. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Don't worry, we're going to come back. Matt's agreed graciously to stick around for a little bit more. I want to get a little bit more into the history of CPAC. There is a great, rich history, and we're going to touch on some of the special moments. Plus, this year's themes right after these messages. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today. Hey folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health, or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out.
Welcome back, everybody. I want to continue with this conversation where we left off because what we're discussing is so important regarding CPAC. Matt Schlapp, who I believe John referred to as the grand poopah of CPAC, the mastermind behind everything that has been happening, everything that has become so culturally important surrounding Republican and conservative politics. Matt, great to have you back.
Great to be with you guys.
So we oftentimes have some audience that, you know, they're coming home from work and they just start tuning in the B block of the show. So I just want to start with some of the headliners for CPAC this year. I know you've got some global leaders. Obviously, President Trump is the main event on Saturday. But talk to us about some of those people who I know folks are going to want to tune into. If they can't come, then they're going to catch the streaming live.
Oh, well, you know, let me do it. It's not just the people. It's also the topics. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about J6. Yeah. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about this outrageously weaponized bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. And it's not just the FBI. It's like, unfortunately, a whole series of agencies that, you know, that are doing this. We're going to talk about the heroes and communities that have stood up to the woke agenda and are pushing back. I think you'll hear very few defenders of corporate America, which has, you know, went off on this crazy tangent towards kind of like trying to destroy what's great about this country. So those major themes will be discussed. And then you have this question of Donald Trump. And CPAC has stood foursquare with him the whole time because we recognized that the Republican Party needed a whole new kind of leadership as we were going to lose the country. And I think it's a valedictory moment for CPAC, for the activists across the country, for Donald Trump himself, of course, is this idea that he's done this amazing historical thing. He's come back from, you know, that crazy election in 2020, and he's going to get this nomination. He'll have a big victory in South Carolina. And so it's an amazing story.
Yeah, that it is. Matt, there are a lot of great moments in the history of CPAC. And early on, it was really the conservative movement's thinkers that just got together. And it was kind of older people. And over time, it very quickly morphed into a place where young conservatives could get energized and grow confidence in their conservatism. And a few years ago, we were doing a special section. I think it was at the Washington Times. And I got to talk to Stan Evans. And he told me this story that Ronald Reagan was insistent in lowering prices at CPAC so young people could afford to come. And that really became the moment when this was a really important event for young conservatives, kids in college, high school. Tell us a little bit about the unique relationship for young conservatives in CPAC.
Yeah, so there's two things about CPAC's history that are important, where there's many, but two come to top of mind, which is number one, CPAC was established to help Ronald Reagan, the nation's most famous conservative politician, launch out and build his national profile. So CPAC has always had good relationships with key politicians like we do now with Donald Trump and others. And number two, as part of Reagan's special relationship with CPAC, there's the Reagan promise. And you just described it. Reagan's promise was that if the conservative movement's to grow in this country, we've got to capture the minds of young people. And so we've always had a greatly subsidized ticket price for young people. This year, it's $50 for the 4 days. And a lot of partnering groups will actually even buy those tickets for the young people. So when Very you cool. come to CPAC, you'll see a whole bunch of young folks there. And you also see young professionals, people out of college, but you know, they're victims of the fact that if you have our values, it's really hard to get ahead in these big public corporations. And so we have more and more of these young professionals coming to CPAC as well. I'm proud of that tradition is continuing, John.
Yeah, it's a powerful tradition. Yeah.
I mean, $50 for the whole of CPAC is next to nothing. And I think it's amazing that you have honored that commitment to keeping it available to young people financially. I wanted to ask you about what's to come. We've obviously got the South Carolina primary. President Trump has been blazing the freeway or interstates. We say freeways out here on the West Coast, blazing the interstates of South Carolina, doing rallies and speaking to the people of South Carolina. But the former governor of that state, Nikki Haley, still says she is sticking in strong and she's playing the long game. Your thought?
Yeah, she is the only state she's leading in is the state of denial. She is not really tuning into where people are. I mean, it's a little bit embarrassing. I actually like her. I think she has an important voice. But, you know, presidential campaigns are really weird and they're very self-promotional. I think she just has too many people around her that are trying to present some kind of a strategy where there's a win here. You cannot lose your home state and even basically have a future in that state. So, you know, if she's going all or nothing on her future, my money's on nothing. And I think that's unfortunate. I think she should get out. She should be for what's going to happen. She should make up with President Trump. And let's get about beating the Democrats and beating Joe Biden. That's where everybody's head is.
Yeah, there's no doubt. That moment to unify is now. One of the great things that CPAC does is it creates an alternate infrastructure to the RNC, which sometimes can be dysfunctional. Every national party is dysfunctional. That's one of the challenges that big party politics has. CPAC provides a lot of important info and input that the parties don't do. One of them is the scorecards that you've created for every state legislature in the country, plus our Congress. They're really important. This year, there were some really interesting findings in the scorecards. Tell us a little bit about why it's important, what you found in the scorecards this year.
Yeah, so we do something like 8,000 ratings. So we're the only group that scores every member of Congress, every state legislator. We'll be adding the governors to that as well. And you definitely see trends. I'll tell you one thing, since we started doing all the states, is you can tell what state you'd want to move your business to. I mean, Elon Musk just famously moved his incorporation for X from Delaware to Texas, and you could have seen that trend in our ratings. So I tell everybody who's in business, you know, don't hire those big fancy consulting firms to figure out where you should add your headquarters or your next expansion. Just look at our ratings. You can see where you want to be doing business in this country. And, you know, I think that's true generally for this assumption that Republicans who say they're conservative are. A lot of times, let's just say they're shading the truth, John.
Yes, that's for sure.
Yeah. Matt, there is this incredible synthesis that takes place between policy, culture, and CPAC. And it seems to be kind of a chicken and egg scenario because policy and culture influence what happens at CPAC, but CPAC also influences policy and a lot of what's talked about in culture. There are always new ideas at CPAC, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I'm very proud of, and John and I have talked about this in past years, is, you know, God's going to be a special person at CPAC, or making a special appearance in the form of Protestant worship services. We're going to have Catholic Mass every day, including Mass after CPAC is over on Saturday night. And we have Bishop Strickland coming from the state of Texas. He was famously relieved of his duties by Pope Francis, and because he stood up against the woke agenda. He's going to be a very important speaker at this year's CPAC. We're going to have a special viewing of this new great movie from Angel Studios called Cabrini, which is the story of this courageous Italian nun, Mother Cabrini, now a saint, who came to New York City and really went around the globe to help the impoverished folks in New York City and other places. So I love the fact that we've been able to weave in more a faith component to CPAC. It was always kind of just completely secular, and although it's still a secular event, it is, we can't save America without asking God to continue to bless America.
Yeah, such an important
Absolutely.
Point.
Matt, we've just got about 20 seconds left. I know for people who want to come to CPAC but can't, they want to be streaming. How can they do that?
Okay, so that's a great question. The first thing you're going to do is you're going to go to our website at cpac.org, and you're going to have lots of options in which to do that. And I don't think you're going to be able to miss watching CPAC next week.
Yeah, we'll be streaming it here.
And absolutely. There are going to be some incredible guests. I can't wait to be I love it. I love it. All right, everybody. So make sure you tune in for any of the streaming capabilities for CPAC. We're going to be there on the ground. We can't wait to be there to see you, Matt, in person, and your beautiful wife, Mercy, and everyone else who's going to be there. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back to your President's Day edition of Just the News, No Noise. Amanda and I are going to stay on the theme of CPAC. Why not? It's the big event in Washington this week, the Super Bowl of conservative politics. And we have a lot of great faces that are going to be there, a lot of people who will be showcased. And we couldn't have a better guest than our next. Abe Hamadeh was the 2022 Republican nominee for Attorney General in Arizona. And now he continues his campaign through U.S. Congress as the Trump-endorsed 8th Congressional District Republican nominee, or candidate, hopefully soon to be the nominee. He joins us now. Abe, great to have you back on, sir.
Good to be with you guys.
All right, we're going to ask you, because we all have our own memories, do you have a favorite CPAC moment in your career?
Well, John, you know, just hearing about the CPAC and, you know, from my memories, I was back in 2011. That was the first time I went. So I was a young man. I think I was 20 years old. And, you know, this was after the Tea Party movement. So this is really the beginning stages of kind of what this America First movement transpired to become. And you look at the people who were on stage back then. I remember it was Michelle Bachmann, so many faces, so many people. And you look at where they go in their careers and into the movement. So it's really, you know, Ronald Reagan, this is one of his favorite events to go to, John. And it's because there's no better place to gather so many of these intellectual conservative minds and people who are actually getting things done in their states. And you finally have once a year an ability to meet with everybody and, you know, converse and, you know, become friends with them. And I think that's what's so beautiful about it. So I'm really looking forward to now going on the main stage, I believe on Thursday next week. So it's kind of a surreal moment where I first was there, what was it now, 13 years ago. And here we are. And you know, we're still fighting here in Arizona, whether it's the election lawsuits and now for Congress. But I think people recognize, you know, what this moment means. And CPAC really offers that sense of community. So it's shared camaraderie. So that's why I'm honored to be going there. Carrie Lake will be joining us as well. So it's going to be a good event.
Yeah, it's going to be big.
Yeah.
Arizona represented.
Yeah, for candidates like yourself. Yeah, speaking on that main stage, is that's like a nitrous oxide injection into your campaign to just propel you beyond that. What are some of those main issues that you're going to be discussing at CPAC?
Now, I think right now everybody feels this feeling in their gut that something is seriously wrong with our country. And I want people to recognize what this moment means. And, you know, some folks I talked to on the campaign trail, they feel really depressed, Amanda, and I try to instill this sense of optimism and hope, because you know, what I look at is that we were placed on this earth for a reason at this time, at this moment, just like our founding fathers were back in the 1700s. And, you know, we have to really come into awareness of that. And, you know, I think people are starting to get that type of message, but we understand that this country is going in the wrong direction. It seems intentionally, whether it's our open border disaster here, especially that's affecting Arizona so viciously. But you look at our elections are compromised, where, you know, you can't even dare question incompetent election officials anymore in this country. And you look at our foreign policy that's been completely hijacked by I think Marxist lunatics, quite frankly. You look at, we're on the cusp of World War III. So, you know, although our country's in a dire place right now, I think the most beautiful thing is you have people rising up to that challenge, whether they're running for a school board office or county races or Congress. I think you're seeing this great awakening happening. So I really want to make sure that's highlighted in my speech.
Yeah, it's sort of funny. One of the things that I have a lot of people who said, I didn't think I was conservative, but I am now. And I think there's been an awakening of people realizing that the left has moved so far left that people are realizing the only way to save it is to move to the right or move to the center even. And I think that's going to be a big theme at CPAC. I want to turn to the power of President Trump's endorsement, because obviously that he's already put his name down on your candidacy very early in the process. That's made a big difference for candidates who get that early in a contested primary. How important is it?
Oh, it's immensely important. You know, for my attorney general race 2 years ago, you know, that propelled us to the top. We were outspent by millions and millions of dollars, but President Trump's endorsement, you know, is invaluable. And for him to put his faith in me once again for Congress was really humbling. And, you know, I'm so proud to have it. So, you know, people on the campaign trail recognize that President Trump, you know, he's in this to win it. He knows who he wants in Washington, D.C. with him to pass his America First agenda. And I look forward to joining him and Carrie Lake here in the Senate in Washington, D.C., because I think we're going to get a lot accomplished. Everything that Carrie Lake and I wanted to do at the state level, we're going to be able to do that at the federal level with President Trump in office. That's why, you know, election integrity is going to be one of my main focuses when I'm in Congress. You know, I think too often it's neglected at the federal level, unfortunately. Border security, Carrie Lake and I know what's going on down here, and it's a mess. And, John, it's not, you know, we all talk about border security constantly, but it actually has, you know, real impact right here in Arizona. There's South American cartel members who are burglarizing so many homes. It's not just here in Arizona. It's actually in other states as well. So, you know, this is affecting crime. It's really, and I think that's the messaging we have to take to the American people, because you're right. I think so many people have awoken up and said, you know, the leftist policies are destroying their cities. They're making them poor, and they're creating misery. So I mean, we just have to have this vision of hope and optimism and look back to just even 4 years ago, it was much better under President Trump. So I think most people recognize that. And we got to make sure that, you know, we're able to communicate effectively.
Yeah.
Yeah. AB mentioned that unsettled feeling that a lot of people feel in their stomach about the direction of our country. And I think that one of the main drivers of that feeling of unsettledness is elections. Because if you can't fix elections, if you don't have honest, free, and fair elections, then pretty much nothing else matters because it all trickles down from there. Arizona has been pretty much ground zero for the election integrity fight. We are possibly facing new leadership at the RNC, which may or may not be helpful with respect to election integrity. What do you want to see done between now and November in your home state of Arizona to ensure that if and when you win or whatever happens, that you are confident in those results?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, because on the trail, so many people ask me whether their vote will matter. And that's why I was actually really proud to see that America First Legal, Stephen Miller's group, actually filed a really big lawsuit here against Maricopa County just last week. And it talks about all the failures and all the violations of the law that's happening. So this is where we have to start getting creative, just like how the Democrats with Mark Elias, you know, they're always playing on offense. So here we're filing, they're filing lawsuits, our conservative movement's filing lawsuits before the election in order to safeguard it. So that's one key aspect. But, you know, in reality right now, when I'm in Congress, what I look forward to, Amanda, is passing the election integrity at the federal level, like banning federally ranked choice voting. I think that's going to be really key. You know, here we lost a congressional seat in Alaska because of ranked choice voting. It is a complete mess. It's meant to confuse the voters. But I also think what we need to do is make sure we have a clean up the voter rolls at the federal level as well. We have to have some standards and safeguards, because so many of these counties are out of control, and there's no real audits of their voter rolls. And there's so much being exposed, even from 2020, that's still happening. I know it's taboo to talk about to so many people, but it's real. I mean, you look at Georgia. In Georgia's case, there's so much going on. Just all these lawsuits that I'm still fighting, that Carrie Lake's fighting. It's all we're still fighting, because the truth will come out. You know, it's going to cost us money and time, but the truth is coming out and allow us to better prepare for these fights going forward in the future.
Yeah. And one of the great things about CPAC this year, there's going to be a whole panel on election integrity. So we'll be able to talk freely there at CPAC about it. I'm going to be on that panel. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, we look forward to seeing you later this week at CPAC. We'll be sure to have you on again when we're there. But good. Thanks for joining us today and give us a great flyover for this very important event this week. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, presidential historian and New York Times bestselling author Craig Shirley. We're going to walk through the history of President's Day and CPAC. There's a lot more history we could talk about CPAC. You're going to enjoy that, particularly with Ronald Reagan. We'll have all of that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everyone. Happy Monday. We are going to keep our President's Day special edition of Just the News, No Noise rolling with another very special guest. He's not only the chairman and CEO of Shirley and McVicker Public Affairs, but he's an amazing presidential historian and a New York Times bestselling author who just published his latest book titled The Search for Reagan. He's also our very good friend, Craig Shirley, and he joins us right now. Craig, it's an honor to have you back with us. Happy President's Day to you, sir.
Thank you, Amanda. Thank you very much. Thank you, John. Thank you for inviting me.
Congrats on the book.
Absolutely. And we love having you on, especially on days like President's Day. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. But I want to take a moment to talk about your book. I think that, you know, every time you have written a book out there, it is so valuable, especially with respect to a historical perspective, especially with respect to Reagan, your specialty. Can you tell us about it?
Well, this book is a number of things about this, Amanda, is that it is exploration of Reagan's intellect, which was considerable, and also his compassion, which was also considerable. But also it refutes many of the lies of the left has spun many years about Ronald Reagan. You know, Napoleon once said that history is a pack of lies agreed upon. And there have been a number of lies that have gone out over the years about Ronald Reagan and AIDS, Ronald Reagan and race, Ronald Reagan and reparations, Ronald Reagan and Gorbachev, other things. And so this book pushes back and corrects the record and tells the truth about Reagan on those and so many other issues, and demonstrates not only his capacity for intelligence. Marty Anderson, who was an old friend of mine, passed away several years ago, but he was a longtime aide to Ronald Reagan. And he had degrees from Ivy League schools and MIT, and he knew from what he was talking about. And he once told me that he thought Reagan's IQ was about 175, which is you know, considerable. I know mine's not that. But, you know, he thought very deeply about things. And I consider the mark of intellectualism not only is being a reader, and Reagan was a voracious reader, read five newspapers a day, one nonfiction book a week, but also being a writer. Those are, I think, two of the things that marks intellectualism. And he was a voracious writer of letters and speeches and radio commentaries and his own books as well. So I think hopefully this pushes back and corrects the record about Ronald Reagan.
That is a great tribute, because it has been a lot of distortion of his record, and particularly the last five, 6 years that you see it, and this is going to be really great. Craig, Ronald Reagan and CPAC kind of grew up together. CPAC started obviously a lot earlier than Reagan's movement, but the 80s were the heyday of both coming into the mainstream. How important is CPAC? And tell us a little bit about its history. Why was it formed, and how has it changed over the years?
It was formed for Ronald Reagan. Reagan came of age as a former governor, as a presidential candidate, and as a president with CPAC. You know, let me say one thing is my wife, Zareen, ran CPAC for 6 years, so you probably ought to be talking to her instead of me. But I did the PR for many years for CPAC and was deeply involved in its planning. So I'm a poor substitute for Zareen, but I'll try to answer your question. It came about, the two fellows who deserve the most credit we're putting together are still with us today, Jim Roberts and Frank Donatelli. Frank was ended up as political director in the Reagan White House, and Jim has run a Radio America for many years. When they were young fellows back in the 73, Watergate was crushing down the morale of conservatives and Republicans. And some people like Stan Evans and Tom Winter and Alan Riskin told Frank and Jim, look, we need a conference to lift conservative spirits. And so they said, look, we want you to put together a conference. So the first one was actually at the Mayflower Hotel in Washington. And of course, the featured speaker was Governor Reagan, who gave a very, very good uplifting speech, as he always did. And as CPAC grew over the years, it was so successful, they did one in 74 and 75. As it grew over the years, Reagan came every year as a former governor, as a presidential candidate, and as a president. The only 2 years he didn't come when he was running in 76 and 80, but he came every year, even the year in 87, when he was recovering from cancer surgery. He wasn't a dinner speaker, but he was a luncheon speaker. So CPAC was very important to Ronald Reagan. You know, CPAC has changed over the years, John and Amanda. It used to be serious about policy. There used to be serious discussions about tax policy and foreign policy and family policy. Really, you know, some really good conversations and discussions. CPAC, unfortunately, has in many ways reminds me of what the longshoreman philosopher Eric Hoffer once said, is that once what starts out as a cause then becomes a business and eventually descends into a racket. And CPAC, in many ways, is not what it used to be, not nearly what it used to be. It's still there. It's still good for young people to go and see. But the policy conversations are pretty much over. It's a kind of a Comic-Con for conservatives to show off their wares and in their exhibition halls and their speeches and things like that. So I'm saddened by what has happened to CPAC. And now, of course, Matt Schlapp has his own problems, which is, you know, is a great shadow over CPAC this year.
Craig, I think you nailed it on the youth aspect of CPAC, because every year that I have gone, which has basically been every year since 2017, The crowd gets younger and younger, and there is, I think there is some value to that activism that it inspires. Absolutely. But here's something amazing. You know, the liberal has managed to commandeer mainstream media, Hollywood, academia, the tech space, practically everything, but they don't have an answer for CPAC. I feel like there's got to be a philosophical reason for that. Why is that?
Amanda, it's such a great question, and I've thought about that many, many times, because you're absolutely right. Every institution of importance in America, liberals have taken over. Hollywood used to be a conservative institution. American colleges and universities used to be conservative institutions. Religion, government used to be, you know, non-ideological, and now they've all been taken over by the left. But the left has never been able to replicate CPAC nor take it over. And I wish I had an easy answer why, except that CPAC has history going for it, has a lot of good history. You know, we've had, foreign policy leaders there and, foreign leaders there, and Reagan and Gingrich and so many other important leaders of the right speak there over the years. And, you know, Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and so many of our friends. I'm sure John and Amanda, you both have spoken there. I've spoken there many times. But it was a great gathering together. And why the left can't replicate it, I don't know. They just lack. It's not about finances, because CPAC has always been fairly inexpensive for the young people, which is an important point. Reagan always wanted CPAC to stay inexpensive for young people to attend, Amanda. So it is a magnet for young people. And that is probably its most important function right now, is that it's good for the morale of young people. It's good for a gathering place for young people. But the left, you're right, has not been able to replicate it. And quite honestly, I don't have an answer why.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing to watch as a reporter, too. I was always thinking at some point the left would catch on to this, but they never really did. Craig, we got about a minute left. We're in President's Day, and I often wonder today how much history has been hijacked to demean America, when much of our history's country has been about the optimism, what we get right. We're not perfect. What's your message to people today on this very special holiday?
Is that, first of all, President's Day used to be George Washington's birthday and Abraham Lincoln's birthday. That's the most important thing, is that, and I wish it would go back to the way it was, because lumping them in together is not fair to them or their legacies. These are two of the four greatest presidents in our history. And don't ask me, ask John Patrick Diggins, who was a liberal historian.
Right.
Well, his last book he ever wrote, he wrote many books about the American left during his lifetime, but his last book was called Ronald Reagan, Fate, Freedom, and the Making of History. And in that book, Diggins says that our four greatest presidents were George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Franklin Roosevelt, and Ronald Reagan, because A, they made their country a better place to live, and B, they freed many, many people. And that's really what a wonderful way to measure a president's worth and success. I would like to, for everybody, you can't turn the clock backward anymore, but I would like to go forward and see history studied again, and the importance
of
so few.
Craig, I'm so sorry. We have to let you go. Everybody, please go check out his book, The Search for Reagan. It absolutely captures such an important aspect of that president. We'll be right back.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back, everybody. We only got a few minutes left on this very special President's Day edition of Just the News, No Noise, before we hand off to our good friend, Grant Stinchfield. I want to come back to the top of the show, Amanda. Matt Schlapp gave us a great flyover, not only of this year's CPAC, but also of the history of it and why so many young people have found their home, just like Abe Hamadeh told us at CPAC. That's the one thing as a reporter, I've never lost sight of CPAC and the number of young people that are excited to be there every year.
Boy, it is always so great to see those young faces there. And what's amazing about conservative politics right now is that it's becoming punk. You know, being a Trump supporter, being America first, being conservative, that's what's punk these days. And especially considering, you know, what happened during COVID, and we saw so many celebrities who, you know, Rage Against the Machine, their lead singer, who was, you know, criticizing anyone who wasn't getting the vaccine. These people that were these people who were punk in my generation,
yep,
who came out, who just fell in line with what the government was telling them to do. It was the complete opposite of being any type of rebel or anything like that. And it's amazing to see young conservatives embracing that and getting involved and getting active. I also found it interesting what Matt Schlapp said about the reasoning that the left doesn't have an answer to CPAC. And I think he was absolutely spot on, because it always seems like the point at which someone goes from being a liberal to a conservative is the point at which they quit being a parasite and they start becoming a producer. When you start being a producer, when you start contributing to your life, to your work, to your family, to your country, that's when you inherently move into more of the conservative values. And I thought that that was a great answer, because I've been looking for that answer for a long time. Why hasn't the left been able to do it? Because they're so organized, they're so active. But he's exactly right.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt he is. And this year is, I think, a recentering point. I think Republicans, and Matt went out of his way to say, listen, Congress hasn't earned a lot of spots on our CPACs this age because they haven't lived up to their conservative values. I think that was a very poignant moment, that CPAC is still a meritocracy, too. You don't automatically get in just because you got an R in your name or you claim you're conservative. You got to do things that make a difference. And I think having Malay there is going to be a remarkable thing. You saw the video footage recently where he flew commercial, blew, you know, everyone on the plane away. That is such an extraordinary moment. You've got these leaders that are coming in from the world, and they, in some ways, they need to remind some of the conservatives here that have become hunkered down that it's okay to be out there. Wear your conservative sleeve, wear your conservative values on your sleeve. Don't be afraid of it. Don't hunker down because of cancel culture. I think some of these foreign leaders are more assertive than maybe some of our members of Congress who've buckled so much, whether it was the border deal, other things. The contrast between some of the conservative leaders who haven't led and some of these world leaders who just leaned in and won, it could be an interesting contrast this year.
Yeah, and I think we're going to stretch our contacts and see if we can get Javier Milei and possibly Bukele on the show while we're there at CPAC. So we'll see if we're able to thread that needle. So, John, there is an anti-CPAC that kind of overlaps with CPAC. I think it starts on the Friday or the Saturday of CPAC. And it starts in on Saturday, called Principles First, featuring some of your typical detractors, Adam Kinzinger, Asa Hutchinson. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's going to be well attended?
There have been lots of efforts to mimic, replicate, counter CPAC. They've never endured. The only thing that's endured is CPAC from 74 till today. I think this is the 50th anniversary of it. It's always endured. And I think that these are just stunts to try to give an area for protest Republicans or protest conservatives a place to be. But will it get the media attention to CPAC? No. And will it be a flash in the pan that probably moves on in a year or two from now? Yes. So, you know, CPAC is just unique in the history of politics. Not even the left has been able to replicate it despite several efforts. And I think today we're reminded of the staying power of CPAC and its role in history. Some of the biggest speeches are given there. And, you know, people say, what's your favorite CPAC? I don't have a favorite moment as a journalist, but I will say one of the most consequential was February 2021 when President Trump began his comeback, because no one knew how people were going to greet him after the January 6th fiasco and sort of the bumpy end to his presidency. And that speech and his resilience and the crowd's adoration and engagement with him told us something that the rest of the media didn't know yet, right, which is that Donald Trump was coming back and he wasn't going to be stopped. And I think this CPAC, you'll see the completion of that comeback with his speech on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, that was the year that his speech went close to 3 hours, and I missed my flight back to Los Angeles for it, and I was happy
Your
to do so.
Your memory's right. Your memory's right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see how long this one year is, but it's going to be fun. Like I said, Malay, yeah. There's a lot of opportunities. We're going to be there all week. That's the great thing about being here at Real America's Voice. You're going to get live coverage, stem to stern, from CPAC. Lots of exclusive interviews, behind-the-scenes stuff. It's going to be fun, not just for Amanda and I, but for all of our audience here at Real America's Voice. Well, with that, I got another good idea for Real America's Voice audience. Stick around. The amazing, the one, the only, Grant Stinchfeld is going to take you through the next hour. We're going to see him live in Washington later this week. But Grant will give you a good ride through the news today on this President's Day. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. Until then, God bless you, and please have a good night. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion-dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.